A very good morning to one and all. Well, as I try to publish my message, I realized and I decided to change the title of today's message. It's Christians' Priorities and Satan's Strategies. Christians' Priorities and Satan's Strategies. You know, to be a passenger of the discipleship, it's good that we learn how to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. That should be the first thing that we need to do. Then, as faithful Christians, we must use our time to serve the Lord, because the call to salvation is always a call to service. That's very important. And at the same time, as what we have learned last night, that we should invest our time, we should invest our life to the life of others who are in need. Iron sharpens iron. Yes, it is also important that we have godly priorities in our lives. In the same way, it is equally important that we know also how Satan will attack us, so that we must be aware of the strategy of Satan. So today, as I'm standing here in front of you, my task, firstly, is to present to you and to show you the priorities of Nehemiah in his life. And after that, I will show you the strategies of Satan to distract us, to get our focus from serving God. Yesterday morning, we focused on one verse. Yesterday night, again, we focused on one verse. Today, this morning, we will be opening a passage of Scripture from the book of Nehemiah, and we will end up chapter 6. Now, let's go back to chapter 1 of Nehemiah. Beforehand, let us bow our heads and ask God's blessings. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the singing of the hymns, Christian songs, that prepares our hearts, that open our hearts, prepare our hearts to hear and listen thy word. Thank you, Lord, for thy faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us in this camp. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for Christian friends. Thank you, Lord, for Christian families. Oh, Lord, forgive us of our sins in words, in thoughts, and in deeds. And we pray, Lord, that as we sharpen ourselves together, being Christians, we learn to trust you more, we learn to love you more, and we learn to appreciate your blessings upon us. Lord, help us to apply thy word in our lives. Lord, personally, I commit myself to thee. Be with me, because without you, I am nothing. And I pray also for the campers. Be with them. Give them understanding. And give them the grace to keep thy heart, to keep thy word in thy heart, that they might not sin against thee. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I'll read to you. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chisleu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity therein in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. So here in chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, we have seen, read, that the walls of Jerusalem was destroyed, broken into pieces. And this news reached into the ears of Nehemiah. And because of this, Nehemiah was sad. You know, later in chapter 2, we are told that the job of Nehemiah was a cupbearer. In the olden times, it is very common. There were many kings that were being assassinated or persecuted, being killed, not by guns. You know how the enemies would assassinate the king? Put poison in the food. That's why the cupbearer of the king must be a trusted man of the king. The job of a cupbearer is a prestigious job, lucrative job, so to speak. Nehemiah experienced success while he was in captivity. Yes, Nehemiah had a lucrative job, prestigious job, but when he heard that the city of God, Jerusalem, the wall of the city was destroyed, he was sad. Yes, he was successful, but at the same time, he was interested in the things of God. As what you knew, the way I look like a Filipino, isn't it? Because I am a Filipino. You know, when I went to Singapore, I saw how the Lord blessed Singapore much. And here in Melbourne, every time, the last time I stayed here, when I went back, I gained weight because you always eat delicious food here. The Lord bless you with much. And most of you here studied well, and after that, you will find a job very soon. And you will experience success in life. Please, when God brings you to success, do not forget the things of God. Be interested in the things of God like Nehemiah. He was sad. What? The walls of Jerusalem was destroyed? I don't care. I'm not a cupbearer. I'm holding a prestigious job, lucrative job. That's your business. Jerusalem is none of my business. Nehemiah was that kind of man. He was sad. In the other angle of verses 1 and 3, we could see that there is a need in the Lord's work in Jerusalem. The wall of Jerusalem needs to be rebuilt, isn't it? And Nehemiah saw the need. Nehemiah even felt the burden. But it's very interesting that Nehemiah did not run immediately to the king. King, I want to go back to Jerusalem. I want to lead the people in rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah did not run like mad and, you know, he just went to Jerusalem and built the wall. No. What was the reaction of Nehemiah? Look at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah saw the priority of prayer in his life. Yes, there was a need. The need was very clear because it was told to him that the walls of Jerusalem were broken, destroyed. Nehemiah could just go to the king, King, I want to resign my job. And Nehemiah would run straight to the city of Jerusalem to lead the people in rebuilding the wall. But Nehemiah did not do that because he realized the importance of prayer in his life, the importance of prayer in the Lord's work. So the first thing he did was what? On his knees, he prayed. He started with prayer. Friends, I hope that in this camp, one of the things that you need to learn in your life is that prayer is very important in our lives. Now, look at verse 1. There is a month mentioned here. What? Chislev. You can also pronounce there as Chislev or Chislev. This is in the month of November and December. It's around there in the Hebrew calendar. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of what? Nisan. Nisan, not a car. This is a month of Nisan. Around March and April. So here, it took what? How many months? Around 4 months. You know, when you love to pray, you must also wait upon God. For 4 months, Nehemiah was praying, he committed his burden to the Lord. At the same time, he was waiting of what God wants him to do. He was waiting of the will of God in his life. You know, there are people who likes to pray but cannot wait on the answer of God. You know, I have a classmate in FABC, a Filipino classmate. He is married. So every vacation, he wants to go home to see his family and to see his wife. He was praying that this coming vacation, the last vacation, he would go home. But you know what? He was tempted to buy a ticket by his own. He bought a ticket. He was praying, Lord, please, if it's your will, I want to go home to my family this vacation. After a week of prayer, he borrowed money from a friend. Then he booked a ticket for Philippines. Then when he sat, said, oh, my prayer is answered. I borrowed money and now I have a ticket. You know, the day after he bought a ticket, one of our lecturers came to him, said, Ellie, you want to go home? Yes. You book a ticket, I'll pay for you. You see? But he bought already, he borrowed also already money. And it was very shameful for him. I'll just give me the money because I borrowed someone and I'll pay. You see? So he was a praying man, but he was not waiting for the will of God. It seems that he just answered his own prayer. Yes, when Nehemiah, what? The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, broken down. It was so heavy in his heart that the heaviness of his heart caused him to kneel down and pray. He started with prayer. He was waiting for God. And later, as we go through chapter 2, we could see how the Lord slowly impressed and answered his prayer. So take note of chapter 1. Verse 4 down to verse 11 is the prayer of Nehemiah. It's a long prayer. And after 4 months, God opened doors for him to talk with the king. 4 months of prayer and waiting. And of course, being a cupbearer, he was serving something to the king. And the king noticed the face of Nehemiah, that Nehemiah was not happy. He said, how come you're not happy? How come you look sad? And Nehemiah told the king exactly the truth. And when Nehemiah told the king that he was sad because of what happened to the city, the king asked this question. Look at verse 4 of chapter 2. This is a wonderful statement of the king. Chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Is not Brother Dominino asking Nehemiah, what do you want? No, it's the king. And at this point of time, the Persian king was the world power. The king of the world power was asking you, what do you want? Shane, if the world power, king of the world power, will ask you, what do you want, Shane? It's a wonderful thing to do. Here, it's like the king of Persia was opening the door, the treasure house. Nehemiah, this is my treasure house, and I opened the door for you. Come in, take what you wanted. If you are in the shoes of Nehemiah, what will you do? What? You want me to take what I wanted? Maybe if I was in the shoes of Nehemiah, I just go say, yes, I'll take this one, I'll take this one. I even try, maybe get up, pull my jacket, put everything I wanted, and just run out. Because the king told me, what do you want? Just come in. But what was the response of Nehemiah? Look at the verse. The last part of verse 4. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah, in chapter 1, you have been praying for 4 months. Then now the king told you, what do you want? You still pray? Yes, that's Nehemiah. Nehemiah started in prayer. Then he continued in prayer. Nehemiah is a man of prayer. Is there anyone here whose name is Nehemiah? If you get married, you can name your son Nehemiah. Then when you look at your son, Nehemiah, you ask yourself, did I pray this morning? Because Nehemiah is a man of prayer. You know, as I do research on this verse, some of the Bible scholars look at this chapter 4 as an arrow prayer. It's like Nehemiah is sending an SMS to God. What do you want, Nehemiah? He was facing the king, right? What do you want, Imaya? Wait, King, I sent SMS to God. God, what will I do? And this short SMS reads to heaven? You know, sometimes when we pray, and it seems that God is showing some clue that is like in favor of our prayer. This is the answer of my prayer. This is the answer of my prayer. Nehemiah said like that. What do you want, Nehemiah? This is the answer. God said, no, Nehemiah, still commit to the Lord in prayer. Nehemiah is wonderful. That's why I am very certain that Nehemiah walks with the Lord. You know why? Because Nehemiah talks to God. When you walk with God, you can't help but talk to God. That's why Nehemiah, even the door of the treasure house of the king was open, still he talked and continued in prayer, asked God's guidance. Look at verse 5. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest, what? Send me. This is not easy to tell the king, send me. You know, allow me to go back for a while during the 4 months of Nehemiah's prayer. Nehemiah was praying at the same time waiting. And I believe that during this period of months, for 4 months, God slowly impressed upon his heart, Nehemiah, you are praying for me that the wall of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. I want you to tell Nehemiah, you are the man who will lead the work in Jerusalem. It was impressed upon his heart. That's why in verse 5, Nehemiah said, what? Send who? Send me. It's very easy to say, can you send my friend? Can you send him? Can you send her? And me, just don't send me. Nehemiah is not that. That's why, you know, when I visit a church, I just don't visit for like a holiday or just, no. I try to pray for the church. And one of the needs that I see the church is, who will be the future leaders of the church? Who will be? I hope and pray that if God impressed upon your heart to serve him full time, you would learn to see this world. Lord, send me. We have a humor in Philippines, a mother with 3 sons. The first son was very intelligent. Then the mother said, okay, my son is very intelligent and now he graduated in high school. He will go to university, son. I want you to be a lawyer. Well, lawyer, because very intelligent. The second son is as intelligent as the first. Son, you're also very intelligent. I want you to be a doctor, medical doctor. The third one is very, like, not very intelligent. Son, you are not so intelligent. I want you to become a pastor. You see, you know, when you offer the Lord, you offer the best. Dominino, you are a former drug addict, you just be a pastor. No, be a pastor, son. Be a pastor because serving the Lord is a high privilege. You must look that way. Send me, Lord, because while Nehemiah was waiting for God's answer, he was sensitive that God impressed upon his heart that, what? You are the man to lead the world. We jump on chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. I'll read down. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, he was angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burnt? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, shall even break down the stone wall. They were ridiculed. They were mocked. These people are not skillful engineers. How can they rebuild the wall? And if they rebuild the wall, see, it will collapse. Even just a tiny animals would climb the wall, the wall would collapse. Then Nehemiah was mocked. You know, normally, as human as we are, when people ridicule us, when people mock us, how do we respond? Sometimes we also, what do you think of you? What do you think of yourself? Huh? You see? You know, Nehemiah was severely ridiculed. But how did Nehemiah respond? How did Nehemiah respond? Look at verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised. First, Nehemiah started with prayer. Nehemiah continued with prayer. And he answered his enemies with prayer to God. It's wonderful. Nehemiah saw the priority, the need of prayer in his life. Friends, how do you value prayer in your life? When I was yet a student, most of the time, if I say 90%, my big quiz every week falls on Tuesday because my Greek quiz is on Tuesday. Our prayer meeting is on, our Greek quiz was on Wednesday, and our prayer meeting is on Tuesday. It's a really struggle for me. I study very hard, then I will not go to prayer meeting. Wednesday, prepare myself, woke up 4 o'clock in the morning, review. I will not attend prayer meeting, then take Greek, expecting I could get around 90 because I studied very hard. You know, sometimes I get 60, I got 60, I got 70. Very frustrating. Then I said, better attend prayer meeting. I attended prayer meeting, I studied, come back. You know, I experienced getting full marks in Greek. Then there I realized the importance of prayer. Sometimes you are tempted not to attend the prayer meeting, isn't it right? Because you have quiz. You have things to do. But as far as Nehemiah is concerned, for him, prayer is the priority of his life. You know, every day, every minute, every second we breathe, isn't it? Why? Because we are alive, isn't it? The moment you stop breathing means what? You are dead. If you are spiritually alive, you also breathe spiritually. And that spiritual breath is what? Prayer. That's Nehemiah. Prayer is very important in a Christian life. Are you alive spiritually? Yes, brother. I am a member of the youth fellowship in Bethel. Okay. How's your prayer life? Did you remember last Friday I told you, if you want to do well, you must pray very well. Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. And you know what? In the Church of Spurgeon, he made purposely a big room below the pulpit. And Spurgeon called that room as a power room. So when Spurgeon preached, there are brothers and sisters in Christ below in that room, kneeling, praying that the message of Spurgeon will become very, very powerful. And that what exactly happened. The message of Spurgeon was very powerful because under the pulpit, there was a room that people gathered together to pray. People ask him, Spurgeon, why is it that you preach very well, very powerful? Spurgeon never said, because I am great. Spurgeon says, go down and look at my power room. That makes my prayer powerful. I pray that after this camp, you will learn the importance of prayer in your life. Today, generally speaking, when the church is about 100 members, 10 will come to prayer meeting, 15 will come to prayer meeting, isn't it? Last Friday, I was observing how many people came to the prayer meeting, adults, just few. So I thought that Bethel, the attendance of Bethel Church has gone down. But Sunday, a lot of people came. Wake up from your spiritual slumber. Learn the importance of prayer. You know, there was a young boy, maybe around grade 3 in the primary, and it was the first day of school, opening day of school. And you know, in the opening day of school, the young boy was attracted of the t-shirt of his classmate. Wow, his t-shirt so nice. You know, when we are young, we are like this, right? Even we are already adults, or sometimes we're like, oh, I like to have like this kind of t-shirt. The boy was really attracted with the t-shirt of his classmate. So when he went home, he said, Mother, I want to ask favor, but before I ask favor, you say yes. The mother said, how come? You haven't told me yet what it is, then you want me to say yes? No, it's not good. You tell me. Then the son said, Mother, can you buy me this kind of t-shirt? I really like the t-shirt. And if you will buy me, Mother, I promise, I will study very, very hard. The mother was a Christian. In the heart of the mother said, this is a privilege for me to teach my son how to pray. The mother had the money to buy. But he wanted, because the mother is a Christian, he wanted to teach the son the importance of prayer. He said, okay, son, mother has the money, but it's better you will ask that to God. And when God gives, it's the best. So you pray, son, morning and afternoon you pray. So the son really pray. In the morning, he prays, Lord, please give me t-shirt. You know, in the night, in the night after dinner, he prayed, Lord, please, I love the t-shirt. Then the mother looked at, wow, my son is learning how to pray. He was very happy. But the mother didn't know how the Lord will answer. The mother said, how will I? Maybe I just buy here because my son keeps on praying. So the son keeps on praying. One day, one afternoon, the friend of the mother called her, said, hey, how are you? Fine. You know, what is the age of your son? So, you know, there is a t-shirt here, 1 dozen t-shirt. Because, you know, in our factory, we are producing a new brand of t-shirt. And, you know, this is sample. Can you come by in our house and I will show you if this is exactly the size of the son? When the mother came there, he saw that it is exactly the size of the son. And that t-shirt is the t-shirt that her son was asking. So he carried 1 dozen, So he carried. And he was very excited when she opened the door. The son was praying. Oh, Lord, give me the t-shirt. Son, mother, you're disturbing me. You stop praying. The son said, what? You told me to pray and now you wanted me to stop praying? What kind of mother are you? Son, I told you to stop praying because your prayer has been answered. Come. It's 1 dozen, but he hide 11 one. Son, God answered your prayer. Wow, mother, that's the t-shirt that I like. So the son was very excited, very thankful. He took the other one. So he ran to his room because he wanted to wear and see in the mirror. See, we are like that. But when he was about quite far already, he said, son, come back. Why? Come back. He showed another one. He said, wow, number 2. So the son ran, come, son, come back. What? See, number 3. Son, until what? Number 12, because it's 1 dozen. Can we open to Jeremiah for a while? Jeremiah. Chapter 33. Jeremiah 33 is the telephone number to God. Do you have God's telephone number? This one. 333. So I'll read to you. Jeremiah chapter 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is wonderful. And the story that I told you is an illustration of this passage. If you will call me, what God said, I will answer thee. God never lies. And in what manner God answers our prayer? The last phrase describes it. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The prayer of the young boy was just give me a t-shirt. And how did God answer? 1 dozen, no? go back to Nehemiah. Chapter 4. When we pray, God answers our prayer in a great and mighty way that even we can't imagine. Again, I hope and pray that after this camp, you will be a man of prayer. If you are a passenger of the discipleship, prayer characterizes your life like Nehemiah. You know, chapter 4, verse 4 of Nehemiah is the answer of Nehemiah in the midst of mockery, in the midst of people laughing at him. You know, as human as we are, when people laugh at us, when people ridicule us, our tendency is to retaliate. But Nehemiah, on his knees, answered this mockery with prayer. But I like verse 6. Look at verse 6. So build we the wall. So here we could see that Nehemiah is not only praying, but he is also what? Working for the Lord's work. Prayer and perspiration. This is very important, prayer and perspiration. If I would summarize the life of Nehemiah before chapter 6, these two words describes prayer and perspiration. Prayer without doing something is presumption. And if you do the Lord's work without prayer, it's self-confidence. And here we could see that Nehemiah prays at the same time building the wall. Do something for the Lord's work. I'll continue to read verse 6. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The last phrase of verse 6 is very significant. Meaning, here, the word mind here could mean heart. The heart of the people was so stirred up, was so moved, was so encouraged to work the work of God. Here, we could see the principle of discipleship here. You know, discipleship starts with inviting people to church. You invite people to church. That is the starting point of the discipleship. If you want to disciple others, start inviting people to church. And when people come to church, of course you must tell them that you are born sinner. Tell them of sin, about sin. Don't tell them that you are born cute. And because, you are so cute, I want to bring you to heaven. That's a false gospel, isn't it? It must start from sin. Because you are all cute, no need to repent of your sin, isn't it? You go to heaven. You go all to heaven. No. You bring discipleship, you bring people to church, tell them of their sin. After telling them of their sin, you tell about the need of a Savior. Jesus died for you. He was buried. The third day, He rose again according to the Scriptures. That's part of discipleship. Then the moment they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, stay with them. Continue to be with them. Show them the music that Christians ought to listen. Show them the TV shows that Christians ought to listen. Show them how a Christian son, how a Christian daughter would respect the parents. It's very important. That's discipleship. Then later, pray that this person that you have invited to church and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you invested your life to him, that he or she will become a member of the church. Then later, expose him to the Lord's service. It's wonderful. That's what Nehemiah did. That's why the last part of verse 6, you said, for the people had a mind to work. Their heart was so focused to do the Lord's work. Then, when these people whom you invited to church become a member of the church, now serving the Lord's work, then both of you together invite people. Then bring people to the church. It's wonderful. Have you done that? Inviting people to church? Investing your life to people? Then bring to the membership? And now you have seen that this man, this lady is now very active in the church? You will be very happy to see that. Nehemiah caused the hearts of the people to serve God, to work God. So at this point of time, my dear friends, we have seen the priorities of Nehemiah's life. He emphasized on prayer. He prayed. Everything started in prayer. He continued to pray. And when there is problem on his knees, he faced through prayer. And when he prayed to God, he realized that God was saying to him, Nehemiah, you are the man to lead the work. And he submitted to God's will. And he was very sure that I am the man that God wants to lead the work. And his focus now in Nehemiah, his priority now in Nehemiah from prayer to do the Lord's work. That's Nehemiah. Now, we come to chapter 6. We can see here the strategy of Satan. I'll read chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gesem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. In chapter 4, we have seen that the wall was half. And here in chapter 6, the wall was completed, already complete. What was lacking? The gates. And friends, when you go back, you read from chapter 1 to chapter 5, you know, when the enemy's attack in chapter 1 to chapter 5, it's not focused on Nehemiah, it's focused on the whole Jews. Like, you are all the Jews, and you are building the wall. The attack of the enemies is, its attack is general. It's attacking you. But here in chapter 6, the strategy of Satan, the strategy of enemy is different. It focus, it zoomed down to what? Oh? Nehemiah. The focus is Nehemiah in chapter 6. And remember, the wall is already done. The gates, just the gates is lacking. Verse 2, and Sanballat and Gesem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in the same one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they brought to do me mischief. Here, the first strategy of Satan is distraction. Satan want to distract Nehemiah because Nehemiah was so focused. The priority of Nehemiah at this point of time is to do the Lord's work, because it is very clear that God's answer his prayers, that he is the man who would lead the work. And now, the attack is focused on Nehemiah. Said, Nehemiah, can you come down? Can we talk for a while? You know, distraction is not necessarily something that looks evil. It looks something neutral. It looks something good. You know, there's nothing bad in talking, isn't it? Nehemiah, can you come down for a while? Let us talk for a while. Maybe we can help you a bit. Be careful of the devil. If the devil could get you down for 1 second, there is possibility that the devil could get you for 1 minute. If the devil could get you for 1 minute, there's a possibility the devil could get you for 1 hour. If the devil could get you for 1 hour, it's a possibility he could get you for 1 year. And now, for 1 year, you are no longer active in the church. That's distraction. And you know, you try to think of the atmosphere in the time of Nehemiah. No television yet, isn't it? No computer, no chatting. In the time of Nehemiah, if the devil is able to distract a person in that time of Nehemiah, how much more now? We have movies, CD, all these things. Be careful. Distraction is the first strategy of this Satan as far as our text is concerned, because Nehemiah was very focused. The priority of Nehemiah is pray, 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 do the Lord's work, do the Lord's. That's Nehemiah. I pray, I pray, I build the wall, I build the wall. I pray, I pray, I build the wall, I build the wall. That's Nehemiah. Very focused, wholehearted in the things of God. Now the wall is finished, the gate. Now our focus is to destroy Nehemiah. Our focus is to distract Nehemiah. Nehemiah, come down for a while and stop. Nehemiah said, no, I am doing what? A little work. Is it? Look at your Bible. I'm doing what? A great work. As far as God's work is concerned, it's great. Because the God whom you are serving is what? Great. That makes the work of God great. You arrange the chair. Is it a little work? It's a great work because you are doing it for God. You mop the floor in the church. Is it a little work? It's a great work. Why? Because you're doing it for God. You chair, you lead the singing. It's great because it's the Lord's work. Here in this camp, bit by bit, you are doing something. It's great. Humanly speaking, the way we look at it in a human's perspective, it's little. In God's sight, it's great because you're doing it for God. You know, not all people could serve God, no? The unbelievers cannot serve God because first, the starting point of service is you must be washed by the blood of Christ. You must be forgiven. Not all people in the face of earth can serve God. We who are redeemed and washed the blood of Christ, we have the privilege to serve God. That's why serving God is great. Look at verse 4, chapter 6. And these sent unto me four times after the sword, and I answered them after the same manner. You see how focused Nehemiah is? Four times, and, come, let's go down. No. Come, let's go down. No. Come. Always the answer of Nehemiah is very consistent. Maybe you like to attend prayer meeting. Yes, tonight I want to attend prayer meeting. Then immediately, your phone rings. Pring! Hey! You know, hey, come, let's go out la Sunday night. Oh, let's enjoy. No. I want to go to prayer meeting. No, sorry. You put the phone. 5 minutes after, ring. Hello. I told you I want to go to prayer meeting. No, very interesting. The third time, wait, huh? Okay, you call me again. You see, you start to waver already. The fourth time, okay. Where we'll meet? Then, okay. Just wait for me 30 minutes. You see, you change already. But here, Nehemiah never changed. No. If you look at the place in the plain of what plain? Plain of Ono. You could say, plain of Ono. Nehemiah was very focused. Look at verse 5. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmo saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. So here, the second strategy of Satan is false accusation. Nehemiah, we know why you build the wall. Because you want to be the king. Next king. False accusation. And friends, this kind of accusation sounds logical because this is very common in the olden times. You do a work, then later you want to be in power. But as far as Nehemiah is concerned, you know, your conscience is very important. As far as the conscience of Nehemiah is concerned, his conscience is clear, clean, and pure that he is not doing this because he left his lucrative job. What's the purpose? To rebel the wall so that the glory of God can be seen back in the city of Jerusalem. His conscience is clear. His conscience is pure. And if you look at this verse, 5 down, there is no verse that Nehemiah tried to retaliate. He didn't retaliate. In fact, Nehemiah said, look at verse 8. Then I said unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. The word feignest here is that you try to fabricate. This is just a fabrication. And Nehemiah didn't retaliate. What did he do? He continued doing the Lord's work. This is very important. Sometimes we are falsely accused. And if your conscience is clear, no need to retaliate. What will we do? Continue doing the Lord's work. Then your works for the Lord, your honest and pure works for the Lord, it will overweigh the false accusation. And people would know that you are doing well. Now, my dear friends, Nehemiah was sad. I believe Nehemiah was sad. Just imagine, you are doing the Lord faithfully. You have a lucrative job. You have a prestigious job. You left that and you do faithfully for the Lord's service. And now people will tell you, what you are doing is wrong motive. It's painful. I have seen Christians actively serving the Lord and they are falsely accused. What happened? They stopped serving the Lord. It's wrong. Nehemiah was sad, I believe, in his heart, that he was falsely accused. But what did Nehemiah do? Look at the last part of verse 9. Now, therefore, have you seen that? Last part of verse 9? Yes, it was very painful in the heart of Nehemiah. But how did Nehemiah do? Now, therefore, O God, what? Strengthen my hands. When we do for the Lord and people would ridicule us as human as we are, it's painful, it's disappointing, it's sad. But you tell the Lord, strengthen my hands. Do not stop serving. Do not be disappointed. Say, Lord, strengthen my hands. It's painful. Lord, enable me to continue to do your work. Nehemiah is great. He was so focused to the Lord. The last strategy. In verse 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Beliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors for the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Ye in the night will they come to what? Slay thee. Fear. Nehemiah, let's go together to the temple. Let us close the temple because this night somebody will kill you. We hide to the temple. Fear. This is one effective strategy of Satan to the disciples, to the passengers of the discipleship. Sometimes he would just bring you something that caused you to waver, shake, and fear. The moment you are fearful, you become paralyzed. As I was doing this study back in my country, I realized that fear is phobia, isn't it? So I went to the... I'm not so good in computer, but I know a bit, no? I typed the word phobia. Then I enter. Wow, a lot of phobias. There are people who are scared of teeth. The moment they see your teeth, wow, they will run. So you cannot be a dentist if you're scared of teeth. There are also people who are scared of shaking their hands. You cannot be a pastor because as a pastor, after your sermon, hi, hello, hi, hi, you see? But if you're scared of the hands, you will run. People are scared of water. Ayo, after eating, we drink water, right? Scared of water? The point here is this. The moment you are fear, you become powerless and capable to serve God. It's very effective. Nehemiah, come to the temple because they will kill you. But Nehemiah said, who is that man that I would flee? You know, this is not an arrogant answer. Because Nehemiah, the people there, the Jew, the children of Israel, was looking to Nehemiah for leadership. And a leader should not have the spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage. Leaders here of the youth ministry of Bethel, do not be a man that is characterized with fear, but with characteristic of courage from the Lord. Today, there are churches who promote coward Christianity. Coward to preach sin. Coward to preach sin because they're afraid that people might be offended. That's coward Christianity. And the Bible is not telling us to be a coward Christian, but to be a courageous Christian. Fear is a very effective tool. The devil, watch out. Friends, we have seen that the priority of Nehemiah's life is to pray. And when God showed to him that he is the man, his priority is prayer, work of God, prayer, work of God. And Satan, Satan wanted to distract Nehemiah. Satan sent false accusation. And then, finally, he sent something that could fear Nehemiah. We will end at verse 15. Look at verse 15. So the wall was finished in 20 and 5th day of the month. Elul in 50 and 2 days. The wall was finished 52 days. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass. Read carefully verse 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of what? God. Very interesting. The people, the heathen, the enemies did not say, the wall was completed, and now even the gates are now completed because Nehemiah is a great leader. The Bible did not say that, right? Never. Verse 16, the name of Nehemiah was not mentioned. But what was mentioned? The name of God. You see, when you are a man who is totally dependent of God, when you are a man who is prayerful, ask God's guidance, and you continue to work under the power of God, when you do something, the people would say, the wall was finished because of the God of heaven whom Nehemiah prayed. I pray, my dear friends, that when you experience success in life, when you become successful in whatever areas you do, people would not say, ah, this man became successful because he is very clever. God is not happy with that. This man became successful because
he loved God and he praised God. Let our life be a chronicle of God's work in us and through us, like Nehemiah. Friends, remember, prayer is very important in the life of Nehemiah. He is very submissive to the will of God, and because of that, it changes his focus to doing the Lord's work. And when he was very active in the Lord's work, Satan tempted him in three ways: destruction, false accusation, and fear. I hope that today we'll learn something to be an effective witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian priorities and Satan's strategies. Please keep this in your heart in order for us to win for others. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for teaching us today the importance of prayer in our life. Lord, if you would bless us in many ways, help us not to forget the things of God. Help us to be interested more about the things of God, like Nehemiah, though he was a cupbearer, but still, when he heard that the wall was destroyed, he was so sad, and on his knees he prayed to God. Lord, Satan wants to distract us. Satan wants to accuse us falsely. Satan wants to put fear in us. But, oh Lord, we believe that you are greater than him. You are all powerful. Lord, help us to be a better Christian. Help us to be a faithful disciple of thee. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.